All right, everybody, welcome in to our Saturday podcast. Two big games, that's it. And if I was going to bet on these, let me start with Tennessee and Kansas City. RJ Bell, pregame.com. Got his hour show Monday through Friday on Fox Sports Radio. At RJ in Vegas is the Twitter handle. All right, I would take Tennessee plus the points here. And, you know, the line, RJ, depending on where you have it, is plus +7. I think it's a good matchup. I think the way to beat Andy Reid is to take the ball away from Patrick Mahomes. I do wonder if Tennessee, you win at Foxborough, you go home. You win at Baltimore, you go home. Boy, we're asking a lot. It's a lot of travel. These are tough environments. I think Kansas City wins, but I take Tennessee in the points. What would the wise guys say?
Oh, I think this is a tight one. I'm going to lean Kansas City here, but man, it is just a shade to KC. Let's start, though, with fatigue. You mentioned it.
Yeah.
Four road games now. This will be the fourth in a row. You just don't see that very often.
You don't. Yeah.
And you especially don't see it where it's week 17 road, first playoff round road, second road, and then conference championship road. It's only happened twice this century, 0-2 straight up, 0-2 against the spread in this spot. Now, you think, okay, Derrick Henry, he's done some amazing things, 185 yards or 180-plus yards in multiple games. Oh, haven't seen this before. Look at his carry count, 30-plus, 30-plus, 30-plus. Hasn't happened in over 10 years.
Yeah.
Any NFL team. And what we've seen is if we just said, let's go with 22 carries in three straight just to get a few backs in the sample, we got that. And literally on that fourth game, they are down the backs about a half yard per carry compared to the season average. So I don't think this is just speculation. I think history tells us a back like Henry really or any back struggles with this kind of workload. Do you see that as a big concern?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're just asking a lot. We're asking, you know, I think Tennessee's also going to have to take some risks defensively to beat Kansas City because, you know, when Sammy Watkins is your third or your fourth best receiver, there's going to be matchup issues. You're going to have to put pressure on Mahomes. You have to take some real risks here. I think Lamar Jackson was a much easier quarterback for Tennessee to defend. And I think when you take big risks against Mahomes, like Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't throw a lot of picks. So I think you're going to see some gashing going on, some over-the-top plays. And I just think games have to go a certain way for Tennessee to win. Boy, it's hard to get Kansas City to play the way you want to make them play. I think they have a very unique, historic level of elite perimeter receivers. And I just don't think Tennessee can match up.
Well, listen, I'm not sure, like you said, who can. One thing, though, I think it's noteworthy. Tennessee played earlier this year against Kansas City, won. And who eliminated Kansas City last year in the playoffs? Tennessee. So if you think about it, the last two times these teams have played, it's been Tennessee winning the game. It feels like that's meaningful.
Oh, I it could be, certainly. Listen, here's the way I always look at kind of sports. We have these great stories all the time. You know, a team will make the Elite Eight. A team gets to the conference championship. A team gets to the divisional round in baseball, the A's with no budget, right? But don't those stories all end genuinely before the World Series and before the Super Bowl? Like, this Tennessee story is great. But, I mean, we got to be honest here. You know, this is Hawaii that's undefeated. They go to the Sugar Bowl, face Georgia, and can't move the ball. We see a lot of great stories in sports, but generally, in the end, they're overwhelmed by superior talent. Tennessee is kind of a one-trick pony offensively, and I just don't think they can win again on the road.
And I think that's a very valid consideration, and I think it speaks to how do you bet this game if you do like and agree with you.
See, I would not bet this game. I'm taking Tennessee only because I think their style is the kind that keeps you closer to the under, but I give them very little shot to win. I just don't think they have the firepower. But if you're, I wouldn't bet this game. But if you told me I had to, I'd just take the point. That's a lot of points for a well-coached team.
No, I hear you. And what I would say is this. Whenever you're taking a seven-point dog, you got to ask yourself this question. Do you see it where they're down 14 and you get a backdoor cover or backdoor push or, you know, down 13, backdoor cover? Or do you, because no matter what, if you take a seven-point dog, there's a chance they're going to be down 13. There's a chance it's going to be a tight game. Let's just kind of go within a range of a touchdown either way. To me, the question is, when are you more comfortable with Tennessee? I'm much more comfortable if it's a tie game with 3 minutes than if they're down 14 with 3 minutes. Thus, if you do like Tennessee, I think you do look money line.
Yes.
Because in this scenario that you probably feel the best, it's a tight game late. Henry's running the heck out of it. So same thing I thought in weeks past, you'll see this sometimes, is the idea that if they, like I thought this with Minnesota actually against New Orleans. I thought if Cousins was out of it, down a couple of scores, you probably are in a really bad spot for a backdoor. It probably wasn't going to happen. But if it was tight, who knew what was going to happen? Cousins would have confidence. Same thing here. If it's tight late, Tennessee has a good chance in a tight game with 3 minutes left.
With no pressure, by the way. They're playing with house money. The pressure's all on Kansas City late.
And they're playing their type of game, yes. Tennessee would be. So if you do like Tennessee, I would look towards the money line. Hey, one last thing on this game for me. You know, I know we had some fun with Kansas City earlier in the year and, you know, disagreements. We've got Kansas City right now, Vegas perspective, the best team in the last 5 years of the NFL. Literally, last 5 years, there's not one team with a higher power rating than Kansas City has right now.
Okay, Green Bay, San Francisco. It's in 10 games this year, Green Bay was outgained. Aaron Rodgers was 9-1 in one possession games, one score games. But as you told me last week with Seattle, Russell Wilson was having a great 11-2 season in one score games. But Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers' career record in those games, a tick above 500. So there is an element of luck breaks in these years that you have tremendous records in one-score games. Mm-hmm. Green Bay has been outgained in 10 games this year. They do not adjust well. Frankly, they throw to one receiver. Aaron Rodgers, of the four remaining quarterbacks, has the lowest passer rating. We don't know if LaFleur can coach. I like San Francisco. I think they create matchup problems everywhere. I think they can beat you multiple ways. I don't think Green Bay can. I think it's a 10-point or more scenario. So I would take San Francisco minus the 7.5 and feel really good. This is one of the better numbers in the playoffs for me.
Agreement, wise guy, sharp side, no doubt, San Fran. To me, Green Bay is just overrated.
Yes.
I mean, this is a 10-6, maybe a 9-7 level team. And I know that people are going to bristle when they hear that. You know, let's start with Aaron Rodgers. I had someone, I'll be candid, I won't bait you in, that we both know told me on air that they thought Aaron Rodgers was better than Russell Wilson. What do you think about that?
Well, I think there was a time in his career.
Oh, yeah. Some hypothetical. When Russell Wilson maybe was in yes. 10th grade.
Now, if you gave me the two as a leader, as a playmaker, as a quarterback, as a road quarterback, I would take Russell Wilson.
Well, you think Russell Wilson's the best quarterback in the NFL, right?
I think he's the best football player. I think Mahomes is the best quarterback. I think Russell's the best football player in America.
Okay, and Aaron Rodgers is... Where would you rank Aaron Rodgers 1 to X right now as a starting quarterback?
4, 5.
Really?
Yeah, I think he... Look at his completion percentage, his passer rating this year. His passer rating's the lowest of the four quarterbacks. Completion percentage lowest. Yards per completion lowest. I think he's...
Still think he's the fourth best quarterback in the NFL?
You know, he's in the 4, 5, 6 range. He's not Mahomes. I would take Wentz over him. I really would. I'd take Russell Wilson over him. I think, I think he falls into that. He's got some strengths over, obviously, Deshaun Watson as a thrower. He's not the athlete. I don't think there's a gap between him and Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think it's that substantial.
Well, then it doesn't sound like you think he's four. Yeah.
Well, I like Garoppolo way more. I like Garoppolo, to me, is a top seven quarterback in the league. I'm the only one that thinks it. I think he's a total gamer and a total player. I think Rodgers is maybe the fifth best quarterback in the NFL. I think Garoppolo's maybe seven or eight. So I don't think there's a massive gap.
You know what I don't understand? No one ever wants to use objective, and I'm not talking about you in this case.
Yeah.
No one wants to use objective metrics or measures. Like QBR is something, it can come from ESPN, it can come from wherever. It was a very thought out, analytically driven index, right? Effectively, yeah. They try to account for quality of opposition, all kind of, you know, junk yards. The old school passer rating was not a modern metric. QBR is. And the reality is Aaron Rodgers hasn't been in the top 10 in QBR in 4 years. And, you know, last year, no, year before, no. And I just wonder how he still gets this rep that he should, because maybe it's because he makes one throw a month that no one else can make.
You know what it is? It's our mythology and fascination with a big arm. Greg Maddux is a significantly better pitcher than Nolan Ryan. Greg Maddux won three or four Cy Youngs. Nolan Ryan didn't win any. Greg Maddux won his Golden Glove 18 times. Nolan Ryan did not field his position well. Nolan Ryan threw hard. Same with Joe Namath. Joe Namath, more picks than touchdowns, but he had the golden arm. John Elway got blown out three times in Super Bowls, played poorly in another Super Bowl he won, but he had the golden arm. Dan Marino, the golden arm, but he was not a smart quarterback. He made big mistakes. Brett Favre won Super Bowl. Again, the golden arm. We fall in love with pitchers that throw hard, and Aaron's got, in his generation, the golden arm. But he's not a good leader. He's got two collarbone surgeries. He now tends to be a ball patter. He's a safe quarterback. He only throws to Devontae Adams. He doesn't build relationships within that receiving core. I, like you, just do not see him as a top four quarterback in this league.
I don't see him as top 10, which puts me in a minority.
Right.
But the funny thing is this. If you look at the metrics that I value with quarterbacks, up till about 5 years ago, so prior to 5 years ago, Aaron Rodgers had as good, if not the best, metrics ever. Yeah. Yards per attempt is something that speaks to what you were talking about this week on your show, Colin, which was, if you obsess over not throwing interceptions, net, that can be bad.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't take chances that are good calculated risks, but you're worried about, just that one interception. Well, yards per attempt accounts for all that, because anyone who throws short and just dumps off, doesn't take chances, won't have near as good a yards per attempt as someone that throws downfield. But if you don't complete as many, it really is a perfect simple metric, because it accounts for everything. If you're willing to take risks, you benefit from long completions. There you go. Literally, 5+ years ago, prior to 5 years ago, Aaron Rodgers had the best yards per attempt in the history of football. In the last 5 years, he's been a slightly below average compared to contemporary quarterbacks. So all-time great to below average. And that switch happened about 5 years ago. I don't know. I've never seen a switch happen so drastically. I don't know if he got hurt. We don't even know it. But the reality is Aaron Rodgers went from a analytics darling to average really effectively, and no one seems to want to acknowledge it.
Oh, I do. I do. I did it this week. And my belief is what happened about 4 years ago is that Aaron saw that Peyton Manning and Breeze and Brady, his contemporaries, all had more either rings or would stuff the record book. And Aaron doesn't. He doesn't have the Super Bowls to compete with Manning or Brady or the Elways or the Aikmans, and especially his contemporaries. He doesn't have the records of Breeze or Manning or Brady. But he does have best passer rating ever, which is largely on efficiency, and interceptions hurt it. So he became a very safe quarterback, protecting the one thing he's number one in the league in the record book, which is passer rating. That's a big deal to him. Russell Wilson's very close. And so I think he really is. He's always been very thin-skinned. Public criticism bothers him. He doesn't want to be an interception guy. And it's the one thing he's got over all of his contemporaries, because it's not trophies and it's not stats. He won't be in the record book. History will not be great to him. He just won't have enough records. He won't have enough years, and he won't have enough rings. But he'll have the passer rating and the efficiency record, and that has become, I think he's a little paralyzed by it and has become a low risk taker, which I'm not a fan of.
Think about what you're saying. This is fascinating, is that somebody took a metric that, quite frankly, is outdated, passer rating, and said, I'm going to reverse engineer my game to optimize my performance in this metric.
That's what, no, I listen, Aaron's very sensitive to criticism, has an, I mean, listen, it's been documented, quite an ego, very prickly. And I think he cares about public perception. I think he does. Clearly, he gets, you know, defensive when, you know, there's an article about him. When anybody criticizes him, he, you know, Brady doesn't give a rip about that stuff. He never talks about that stuff. Favre never cared about that stuff. Manning didn't care about it. Aaron does. So I do think, this is my theory on it, he's become a very safe quarterback over the last 4 to 5 years to protect the one stat he has over his contemporaries.
Amazing. Now, let's talk about Packers outgained on the season. So you had talked about the number of times they've been outgained. If you just add up yards gained, yards yielded, Packers outgained on the season. Now, since 2001, there hasn't been a team to make the Super Bowl that was outgained on the season. 0-6 in the conference championship. So 6 times a team like Green Bay, now the 7th, makes this stage 0-6 straight up when they've been outgained 1-5 against the spread. Oh, by the way, not only outgained on the season, Green Bay outgained last week against Seattle, even in the win. So statistically, these aberrations, these fluky teams that overperform their stats, there is a wall they don't tend to get past. Green Bay 9-1 in games decided by 8 points or less this season. We talked about Aaron Rodgers hasn't been the top half of the league in QBR in the last 3 years. You know, week 12, these teams played 37-8 San Francisco. To me, that speaks very well. You know, LaFleur and Shanahan have a long history together, and there's been 3 different teams. LaFleur's been under Shanahan. I'm a big believer when coaches know each other, the superior coach has an edge.
Yep.
What kind of factor do you see that being?
Huge. I think LaFleur is totally unproven. They're a lousy third quarter team. I think Shanahan's is the best young, not only the best young coach, he's the best young adjustment coach. We saw Sean McVay sort of undressed in the Super Bowl with Belichick, didn't have a second punch, a second gear. LaFleur has not been a good adjustment coach. Very good on script. Get a lead at half. Do not make adjustments. Outscored last week 20-7, second half against Seattle's pop gun offense. So I think it's a mismatch in coaching.
We mentioned last week, San Fran back in the day, back in the Bill Walsh days, had a rep as a great home team. It's kind of faded. Well, number one in the league at home, point differential, San Francisco. And to me, here's the big final question. Why did San Fran's defense play so much better last week?
Healthy.
Well, see, that's the thing. That's what everyone thinks. But Alexander, key in that, and the 2 others that came back, if you look at Pro Football Focus, which is imperfect, but if you look at Pro Football Focus, everything is, any single metric, is they say that literally Alexander had a below-average game. And thus my question becomes, if a couple guys return and they don't do all that well by our best metric we've got, could it be them that's driving the performance being more like the first half of the year, which was outstanding for the San Fran D? Now, Fezzik, our guy at pregame.com and the radio show, he felt like it was more fatigue and then the rest helping, because the bye for San Francisco was in week 4. So all that time without the bye, they were tired, and then eventually then got the bye and played better. I just think we're all assuming San Fran is back to that defense that started the year. And I just wonder if the answer is Alexander's back. Well, why wasn't his performance better? I'm not saying that I'm sure that it's a fugazi, that, you know, San Fran's not back to where they were. I'm just saying it causes me concern that they were so average, and they were 26 points a game they gave up the last nine games. That's a lot of games. And to say it's all injuries and now they're back, I'm just not so sure about that. If it was fatigue, then great. That's another good reason, San Fran, they won't be tired yet. But that concerns me. Your eye test, Colin, did you see Alexander making a big difference? Like, no, what did you see?
Well, no, but he's hyper-athletic, and I think he's like Reuben Foster, but more under control. And I do think when you come back for your first game, Minnesota's really good, got very good personnel. And maybe they're a hard team to defend. They have legit tight ends, a good running back, two great receivers. I don't think Green Bay is nearly as difficult to defend. Aaron's obviously better than Kirk Cousins. But I think when you come back for the first time, you're rusty. Minnesota has a lot of elements. Stefanski's a good coordinator, just got a head job. I think that, you know, that kind of stuff matters. I think Green Bay's a much easier team to defend.
Yeah, and I think San Fran did a really good job net against Minnesota. I'm just not sure that the returning players were the key. So I think we got 5 minutes here. I wanted to hit you with a little fun prop bet and see what you thought of it.
Okay.
All right, Super Bowl generic. All right, so that means AFC, NFC, doesn't matter who makes it, you've got your bet, right? You can bet this right now.
Yeah.
What would you make the line AFC, NFC? So obviously, as you're thinking about it, the four matchups, you know, it could be, okay, the two favorites win, so it's KC and San Fran. You know, KC, Green Bay, and then it flips, right? It could be Tennessee, well, San Fran. So, you know, you kind of calculate.
I would be very comfortable with a high over-under. That I know. Because I think Tennessee has the least chance to win this weekend. So maybe I would say. I don't know. I like San Francisco better than any team in the league, Kansas City too. But let's just say, I'll say because you said AFC, Fezzik loves the AFC, I'd say AFC minus 2.5.
Okay, that's interesting. So you said something just a second ago, I thought. So you think San Fran, no, neutral field, right, Miami, San Fran versus KC.
Yes.
You've got San Fran favored.
Yes, but I think KC's second because I think San Francisco's run game is formidable. And I think in a Super Bowl between San Francisco and Kansas City, the fullback, the run game, Kyle Shanahan would keep Patrick Mahomes off the field for stretches.
Okay, well, there's actually all four of the lines out right now, so I can give those real quick. Kansas City would be one over San Fran.
Minus one, okay.
San Fran would be 5.5 over Tennessee.
Okay.
Kansas City would be 4.5 over Green Bay. And then Green Bay would be 1.5 over Tennessee.
I take Tennessee there, big.
Yeah, I do too. I like that too. So what we did is, and I tweeted this out at RJ in Vegas, is we made a $5,000 bet AFC at Pick'em over the NFC. I believe personally the line should be more Kansas City favored by 2.5 or 3 over San Fran. And I would love, to me, you might think, well, RJ, why not just wait for, you know, KC to win? It's because I believe there's a lot of scenarios that benefits this bet, including Green Bay somehow pulling the upset. I'm ecstatic if it's Tennessee against Green Bay. I think Tennessee should be favored in that game.
Yeah, so do I. So that's the first one that jumped out to me is I would take Tennessee and points against Green Bay.
Yeah, and the AFC-NFC bet that we made, though, was at Pick'em. So when you consider all the different possibilities, if you assume the lines are Kansas City by one over San Fran, and that's the bettable line right now, San Fran by 5.5 over Tennessee, and Kansas City by 4.5 over Green Bay, and then finally Green Bay by 1.5 over Tennessee, that's the same place we made the bet at, and you add it all up, it comes out to Pick'em. I personally think that in almost every case, the AFC should be a little bit better. And thus we made the big bet. But I think it's fun to think about the different possibilities and how with gambling, you could decide to make the bet now or later. But we kind of like the uncertainty now of all the possibilities because we think most of them, if not all, give us an edge. I think a lot of people would have some very different opinions. And to me, that's what makes it interesting.
RJ Bell, pregame.com. Have a great weekend. Nice stuff, bud.
Thank you.